Blog Talk Radio.
All right, thank you and welcome, family. This is Tim the Overseer. Welcome back to Spiritual Sense Life. Hopefully you've all had a wonderful and blessed week. I know that I have had a blessed and wonderful week. Just be praying for us. We have actually lost a family member this past week, so just make sure that you're praying for us and our loved ones and family and friends, and we'll continue to pray for you all and just lift you all up in the spirit. Again, we are so grateful for this day. We're grateful for life itself. But most of all, we're thankful for salvation. We're thankful for Yahweh and his son, Yeshua. We thank you for his presence in this world and how he has blessed us with salvation and has come back to redeem man back to the Most High. We are definitely grateful for life itself. I just want to take this time out to express gratitude and just say to the Heavenly Father that we are so grateful for another blessed day. We're thankful for all that he has blessed us with. I am thankful for roof over my head, clothes on my back, shoes on my feet, food on my table. I'm grateful for the bare essentials of life itself. I'm grateful for finances. I know that a lot of people are affected by this pandemic. Make sure that we are praying for those that are affected financially as well as mental and also as well as health-wise. And we are praying for those and that we are praying for those that have lost loved ones in this pandemic, that we're lifting everyone up. And again, I just like to thank him for life itself, his grace and his mercy. Most of all, I thank the Most High for my salvation. I thank him for all that he has done, all that he is doing, and all that he is about to do in our life. And again, we thank him for his promises and his return. And so with that being said, we just want to take some time out to show you all some love and thank our listeners for being here. We thank Chaos Talk Radio for his services that it provides to you all as listeners. We thank Derek Oliver and his team for allowing us this platform to bring you the message of salvation and eternal life. And remember that eternal life is a free gift. Eternal life is the greatest gift to mankind from our Lord and Savior. We are so grateful for this opportunity to share salvation with you. Today we're actually going to be talking about Revelation. We're back in Revelation, the second chapter. We actually stopped at verse 10 last week, so we're going to go ahead and get ready to get into the message. But, of course, before I do, we want to go ahead and make sure that we read the scriptures of love coming out of 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, verse 31, into 1 Corinthians, the entire 13th chapter, okay? So we're just going to make sure that we are say a word before we get started. All right, and also I just wanted to, again, I'm glad that you all back for another daily bread sermon, and again, more spiritual food for the soul, and hopefully you've all had a blessed, wonderful week and an even better spiritual day. Okay, so with that being said, let's go ahead and read 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, verse 31, and 1 Corinthians, the entire 13th chapter. It says, "But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profit me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, do not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. Charity meaning love. Dear most gracious Heavenly Father, we come thanking you for another blessed day. We thank you for our life, our soul, our health, our strength. We thank you, Heavenly Father, most of all for salvation. We thank you for your Son, Christ, and for redeeming us back from eternal death, dear Heavenly Father. We thank you for your grace and your mercy on your children, dear Heavenly Father. We thank you for your saints. We pray for those that believe as well as those that don't believe. We pray for their salvation, dear Heavenly Father. And we pray for those that are us that are believers, dear Heavenly Father, that we continue, dear Heavenly Father, in your word, and that we become stronger in your word, and that we press towards the mark of the high calling, Heavenly Father. We thank you for all that you've done, all that you're doing, and all that you're going to do in the future for us, dear Heavenly Father. Again, we bless and praise your holy name, dear Heavenly Father, for there's none like you in existence, in heaven or in earth, dear Heavenly Father, or in existence, dear Master. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for your word, dear Heavenly Father. We pray, Heavenly Father, that we come by your Spirit and that we let your Holy Spirit take over and teach your people, dear Heavenly Father, and teach your word, and that all flesh be removed, dear Heavenly Father, that all personal knowledge and thoughts be removed, and that only your Spirit come forth with the word, dear Heavenly Father. Again, we bless and praise your holy name forevermore. Amen, dear Heavenly Father. Again, we are so grateful to be back before you this evening. Again, this has been a long week, but nonetheless, we have made it, and we are so grateful for it. Again, I just want to take this time out to share our salvation with you. I know back in the day, you used to call it the doors of the church are open. So, you know, I just like to always pronounce it, not at the end, but also at the beginning and also throughout the show about salvation. Again, we're praying for your salvation. If you're not there yet, that you become saved, we thank you for being here. We're praying for those that have accepted salvation as well. And remember, salvation is free, okay? That's one thing about salvation. It's free and it's for all eternity. It is yours. It is a gift. So remember and think of it this way, okay? If I gave you a gift, remember, if you give someone a gift, it's theirs forever. We don't ever take it back. So if I blessed you with $1 million and say, okay, here you go, here's $1 million, that's a gift, okay? If I turn around and I took it from you, was that a gift? No, it's not a gift, okay? So remember, this is the gift of life. It's not temporal. It's for all eternity. It's for everlasting. And so the gift of salvation is free, and it is easier than drinking water or breathing air. I always like to use that reference because why? You have to continue to drink water and to breathe air. You have to continue to work for it. But salvation is free, and it's for all eternity. Now, though we work within our salvation, we don't have to work to obtain salvation, okay? And so, therefore, you see those references. Again, we're so grateful for life itself. In fact, I got a special for you the last 30 minutes of the show, what I'm going to do the last half hour of the show. We're actually going to talk about the millennial reign. I had a friend that reached out to me today and said that I had touched on it some time ago and that she would actually like to hear me talk about it a little bit more. Now, remember, the millennial reign is in Revelation, the 20th chapter. And so I don't want to touch on it too much, but I'm going to give you some examples of the millennial reign and also share some scriptures with you that are in the Bible, both Old Testament and mainly New Testament, in regards to the millennial reign. It's going to be a blessed time. Again, I like to always say this, like my dad used to say, get your ticket, don't miss the glory bound train. Again, if you're not saved, hey, you don't want to miss this. You don't want to be here when the Antichrist comes on the scene. There are many scholars and believers that believe that the Antichrist is on the earth right now. It's a possibility that that could be true. Some don't believe that he's come yet. Again, you know, that could be a very huge possibility. But we do believe this, that Christ is very, very close to coming back. We believe that. We know that they've been saying it for thousands of years and hundreds of years. They've been preaching the end is near and that Christ is on his way back. I really do believe that. You know, my dad used to tell us when we were young that every 2,000 years, some great event happens. We are in that 2,000 years right now as we speak. And so we are hoping and believing right now. I won't be disappointed if Christ was to come back right now while as I speak. It wouldn't hurt my feeling not one bit. I am so grateful to be a believer. I am so thankful every day of my life for salvation. Remember, salvation is free. And if you want to read about the plan of salvation, that's coming from Romans, the 10th chapter, verses 9 and 10, the main two chapters. That's all you have to do is just confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. And the Bible says that thou shalt be saved. Salvation is just that plain and simple. There was some that will have you to believe that you have to, really do some hard work and grind just to become saved. Remember, salvation is not a grade, okay? If that's the case, we would all fail. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says that we are all as what? Filthy rags, meaning that it doesn't matter if you believe or not, if you don't believe. And that's over in Romans, the 3rd chapter. I believe that's in verse 9 when Paul talked about that. Paul said, what then? Are we better than they? Paul is referring to who? He's talking about the Jews and the Gentiles. So he used the Jews and the Gentile as a reference, okay, to what he is saying. He said, no, in no wise, for we have before proved both Jew and Gentiles that they are all under sin. Don't you think for one moment that you're not under sin. You sin, I sin. We all sin daily. I tell you, the only difference between me and the non-believers is that I believe and I have faith in my Lord and Savior, Christ, okay, and I believe in his Heavenly Father, which is also my Heavenly Father, okay? Paul said, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Now, who was Paul talking to? Was he talking to the non-believers? No, he just said we have proved what? That both Jews and Greeks are what? Right? We are all under sin. Okay, so Paul is talking to non-believers and believers alike. We are not better than those who don't believe. In fact, I used to be a non-believer, okay? The only difference is that now I believe, and through the Holy Spirit, I am changed. It's the Holy Spirit, the comforter that comes in and leads you and guides you, okay? We just follow. We just be obedient because we make choices in this life. It's just like, you know, you see that reference of the angels on your show. You have one that's a good angel, and then you have the devil on one side. You know, which one are you going to choose? Are you going to choose to do right, or are you going to choose to do wrong? And so because of the Holy Spirit, we are led to do right most of the time. That's why we say that we are sinless, meaning that we sin less than what we used to do. It doesn't mean that we're perfect or without sin. So I just want to share that with you. Again, that's the plan of salvation. I must always share with you to give you confidence. This is what Paul talks about. He said that I may give you confidence when Christ returns. We see Christ return if we're still here on the earth and alive. Then when he returns, we have confidence that he's going to what? We're going to be caught up as well, because remember that the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then those of us that remain, this is what it says over in Thessalonians, those of us that remain shall be caught up with Christ. Amen. So with that being said, we're going to go ahead and get into the message today. I know that you're ready to get into Revelation, the second chapter. Let me go back over there. And we was at verse 10. In fact, I know we stopped at verse 10. We talked about the church of Smyrna, okay? And the church of Smyrna, we was talking about the different things. Give me one brief moment. We were just talking about the different things of the church. We're dealing with the seven churches, and we're going to try to get into Pergamum, or also pronounced Pergamos, which is the other church, one of the seven churches. We're going to talk about the different things that, which the churches had advantage in and some of the things they had disadvantage in. Give me one moment. Amen. So give me one moment. I have to give me something to drink there. And he's trying to attack a little bit there. So we can't give him no room to do so. So let's go ahead and read Revelation, the second chapter, verse 10. Let's just go ahead and start out reading it, and then we'll go ahead and break down the scriptures. Okay? So verse 10 says, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Okay, behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Amen. So this verse 10 is talking about the things that we as believers are going to endure, okay? That's why it says, be thou faithful unto death, okay? Remember I told you it's about the Holy Spirit indwelling us. So what gives us the strength to continue on when we deal with life and when we go through things in this life? It's the Holy Spirit that makes us faithful and keeps us faithful. I'm not going to say makes us faithful. It keeps us faithful because why? It reminds us of our salvation daily. I'm reminded of my salvation daily. There are days when I have challenges, days where I may feel like giving up and not want to get into my word or just do certain things according to the scripture. But remember that Satan has no power over us who are what? Are not afraid of death. That's very, very powerful thought. We're not afraid of death, okay? Because why? The Bible says, fear not what man can do, because it says that in the Word, it says that man has power over the body. Okay, in other words, they can harm you or even kill you, but who has power over the very soul? The Heavenly Father, okay? He has given who? Christ the keys to life. And this is what Christ is going to do. He's going to raise us up, okay? He's going to raise us from the dead. So we don't worry about what's going to happen, okay? So I just want to reference Revelation, the 12th chapter, verse 11, real quick. In thought of the power that we have through Christ as believers. And so let me go to Revelation 12 and 11 and read it to you real quick. Revelation, the 12th chapter, verse 11 says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives, what? Unto death. Okay, so in other words, we're not in love with this life. This is what it's saying. And we'll get into Revelation 12 in the future because this talks about the woman and the children. You'll see the sea. We'll kind of get into that in the future. So I don't want to give you too much of Revelation, but I just want to share that verse with you. Let you know what we give. We have the word of testimony, right, of Christ. We talk about Christ. We preach Christ. We live Christ. We share and we show love. That's the main point of being a believer. We have to show love, okay, because we are not in love with this life. We're not in love with this world, which means that we don't worship and idolize things in this world like houses and cars, land, money. You know, there used to be songs about that we used to listen to as we were growing up in church back in the day, that we don't fall in love with the world. We're not after riches and trying to become, you know, filthy rich. You know, the Bible says, what profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And so we're just not in love with the world like that. We're not. It doesn't mean that we don't enjoy some things. I enjoy my home. I enjoy, you know, having things, going out, having fun, just enjoying things of this world. But I'm not so in love with it that it becomes, that I idolize it. It doesn't become what? My God. And so this is what the scripture is saying. Okay, so just remember that, you know, back during the time of Smyrna, you know, this church here was the commercial center of Asia Minor at the time. And the city of Smyrna was on the direct route from India and Persia to Rome. And so it was like a wealthy, busy city with much of us. Like at the time, you know, the Jews in the city were apparently, you know, irreligious and materialistic. So they wasn't really that concerned. They wasn't really doing what they were supposed to do. And this is why it says, it talks about unto the angel of the church in Smyrna, write these things, said the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. Okay, so this was the message from Christ to this church, okay, because why? The church had, you know, they had kind of fallen away and become what? Kind of in love with the world. So this is what it's saying here in verse 10. So it's also teaching. So remember that I had referenced before that the seven churches are always an example of the churches today. So every church today is an example of these seven churches. Okay. So in other words, somewhere your church that you attend falls into these seven churches. This is what I'm saying. That's what I'm talking about. Okay. So now we're going to take a look at verse 11. I'm just going to read it, but I'm still not through with verse 10. I'm just going to read verse 11 because verse 11 is going to be the end of the message to the church in Smyrna. It says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. That is a very powerful and prophetic scripture verse 11. I'm going to get into breaking that down, but I just want to deal a little bit more with verse 10. In fact, I actually got some scriptures. You know, I always have scriptures. I'm just going to just read a few of them because I know sometimes I can overwhelm you. So what I'll do, I'll just actually give you the scripture, and you'll just kind of make note of it. Hopefully you're making note, and you'll go back sometime this week. I like to give you something to kind of look at during the week to encourage you and to kind of just keep you busy, if you will. So let's take a look at Matthew's the 10th chapter. Verse 22, and let's see what the scripture says to us. Again, that's going to be Matthew 10, verses 22 and 23. It says in verse 22, it says, "And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved." Man, that verse right there sound like us or me as a believer. Are we hated? Surely we are. The world can't stand us. You know, I've been watching, I watch social media a little bit and just kind of try to pay attention to some things in the world that's going on. And, you know, they have all these different parades for these different groups and people talk about different things, you know, about being equality and equal. And I think that everyone is equal. I believe that everyone is equal and that we should be treated with a certain amount of respect. But just because you have a certain view on life doesn't mean that your way of life lines up with the word. So we know, as we are believers, when we call out certain groups of people on the earth or certain beliefs, certain religions, you know, people get offended. People don't like that. But, you know, I like to tell people that I believe that what I believe is, you know, the one and only true God. This is what the Bible teaches, okay? So the world doesn't like us. Doesn't like us as believers, okay? Even some people in the church don't even like us. Ain't that sad? And I like to say, well, they can't be non-believers because believers have the Holy Spirit indwelling them. And we see things the same. We get along with one another. Though we don't agree on everything, because I told you before that even Paul and Peter didn't agree on everything, but they were still one as believers in Christ. They still followed Christ and did the works and were obedient to Christ's word and his will. Now, verse 23 says, "But when they persecute you in this city, flee ye into another. For verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come." Okay? And so this is just the endurance that we have to go through, the challenges that we have to deal with in this life as believers. And so, you know, this is just some of the things that we must endure. I know I like to always talk about over in Romans, the 8th chapter, where it talks about we are what? More than conquerors through Christ, through him that loved us, okay? We are more than conquerors, okay? So we have to continue to press toward the mark of a high calling and not get discouraged in this life. I know there are times to where in ministry, I've shared with you, you know, how I left the church because, you know, you get discouraged. You know, you're working and you feel like you're doing what you're called to do. And then it's like people who are supposed to be believers or Christians in the church, they take salvation lightly. In other words, you know, they don't put work in or you know, they just seem like they're just nonchalant about being Christians or believers. And so I believe as believers, we should definitely work the works of him that has sent us, okay? The Bible says, "While it is day, for when night cometh, no man shall work." So it's for us to do the works of the Lord, not sleep on what it is that we're called to do, whether that's witnessing to people out there in the world, inviting people to church, just doing whatever we are called to do as believers. We have a job to do, and that's what we must do, is what the Most High has commanded us to do through his Son, Christ. So remember, we want to hear, "Well done, thou good and what? Faithful servant." I long to hear these words, and you should as well. So this is why we do what we do, okay? So again, we're going to take a look at some more scriptures. There's some more things that I want to share with you, but I don't want to go too fast in the word. So let's go ahead and look at some scriptures for Revelation, the 11th chapter. Now let's go over Revelation, the 13th chapter, verse 9. Take a look at what it says there. Give me one moment. Revelation, the 13th chapter, verse 9. It says, "If any man have an ear, let him hear." Okay? So what is the scripture saying to us? If you understand the word, hear the word, understand it. If you have an ear, in other words, if you have a zeal of the Most High, if you have a zeal of God, if you want to know the word, if you desire to be with him, hear his word. Why do we need to hear his word? For his commandments, so that we may be obedient to his word, so that we may adhere to what the Heavenly Father, for what Christ is saying in these churches. This is what he's saying. If you notice at the beginning of each church, he commands what? John to write to these churches. These are the things that we need to adhere to. These are the things that we need to correct. These are the things that we need to grow in as believers, okay, in the word, and that we are not just, you know, just going to church and making it as an event. You know, just in other words, something to do. That's not the purpose of us going to church. Our purpose is not to go to meet and greet. It's not just a social gathering. It's for us to give praise and worship, okay? In fact, in thinking about praise and worship, a lot of people think that this is going to be a boring thing when we get to heaven. Heaven is going to be so awesome and so beautiful, man. It's going to be, Paul said it best, you know, we can't imagine what's in heaven. And so we think about that. Heaven is not going to be a boring event. We're going to get the praise and worship, and you're going to have so many gifts, so many blessings. You know, it's going to be so unimaginable. So you just cannot imagine what the Heavenly Father has for you and has for us as believers that love him, okay? And so it's not going to be a boring event. You're going to get the praise and worship. And I love praise and worship. I don't know about you, but I love to listen to, you know, gospel music. And, you know, we love to spend time with him and studying our word. And so just being in his presence, you're going to get so many rewards. In fact, I'm going to cover that here in just one moment. I'm going to cover the different rewards that you're going to receive. But before I get into that, I just want to share with you verse 11. It says, he that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Okay? So remember, the second death is the great white throne judgment. When death and hell shall be what? Thrown into the lake of fire. That's Revelation the 20th chapter, verse 14. So we don't want to have no part in that, okay? That once, if you experience that second death, it means you don't have salvation, okay? And so you don't want to have nothing to do with that. And remember, this is why it's important, why we have the opportunity right now to receive salvation, okay? So let's take a look at the crowns that you're going to receive. The incorruptible crown, okay? This incorruptible crown, let's take a look at 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, and we're going to take a look at verse 25, okay? And so what is the reason that we're going to receive this crown? 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, verse 25, it says, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown. Okay? So in other words, you know, it's okay to want to achieve things in this life. That's good. If you want to get a degree, master's degree, doctorate degree, you know, whatever it is that you're trying to master in this life, okay, whether you want a business, those things are great. But remember I told you before, you know, those things mean absolutely nothing if you don't have Christ as the head of your life, if you're not saved, if you don't have salvation, because only what we do for Christ shall last, okay? So this is called the incorruptible crown. 1 Corinthians 9 and 25 talks about that. What is this received for? For being disciplined, okay? For reading your word daily. See, this is why I talk about these things, why I have to include scripture to show you that I'm not just talking, but I want to show you some scripture. Because it's important that, you know, when I talk about how people would just come to church and not participate, this is what we're saying. Are you disciplined? When you come to church, you want them. Now, don't get me wrong, there were people who participated, but the people who didn't participate was always, there seemed to be a larger number. And if you ask them questions, we're talking about saints that have been in church for 20 years. What's the purpose? You've been in church all your life, 20, 30, 40 years, and we ask you questions about the Bible. Well, I'm not saying that I expect you to be a Bible scholar, but you should have something to say. And when you participate more with people, and you can tell that it's because how the way they were taught and trained before, there was not participation. This is why I like participation, because this is how you learn. Think about it as a kid. I use myself as an example. I'm a hands-on person. For me to learn, I don't like concept teaching. I don't like the person just to just talk and me not interact. It's hard for me to learn that way, okay? I'm a hands-on person. For me to learn, I say, hey, you know what? Show me something. Talk, engage with me. This is how I learn, and this is how I teach. And when I used to teach, I used to always engage. And when I did that, I began to notice that, okay, people are learning. And you have to make people comfortable in learning when it comes to the word, because I've noticed that sometimes people can feel uncomfortable because they feel like, well, if I say something wrong as an adult, they kind of feel embarrassed. But you have to teach people that, no, any answer that you give is fine. This is why we talk about it. This is why we discuss it, because it is for you to know. Paul said that. It is for you to know the word and to understand the word. So this is, again, the incorruptible crown. For what? Discipline. Effective life, okay? So what is an effective life? Reading your word daily. I tell people, even if you read a scripture today, hey, that's better than nothing. Show some consistency as a believer, okay? Because anything that you do for Christ lasts. In other words, you're rewarded for every little thing that you do. People don't realize that, but you are. This is why it's so important that we have a discipline. I have a little thing that I go by. One day I hope to be blessed to share it with you. It's like a little daily thing that I do every single day, okay? And that's not to boast or brag. That has made me better as a person. It's kind of like, you know, when we used to have those little books, we used to keep up with things that we do. I forgot what you used to call those little things. Planner, that's what it was. We had a little thing that we write in our little planner every day. And this is what I do, and I've noticed that this has helped me to grow spiritually as a person, as an individual, because you want to have what? Some type of discipline in your life. And so why not be disciplined towards the Heavenly Father? If we're disciplined in everything that we do orderly, as far as our job, our business, and going to school, anything that we do, we have order. Well, the Bible says, do all things decent and in order. Well, know this, that the Heavenly Father is where all these things come from. When we do things that seem like that are just in order, in an orderly fashion, well, that came from the Most High, because he does things decent in order. And this is how he created us, to be an orderly individual, an orderly person. This is how he created man. So remember, Adam was a very intelligent man. Okay, so I just want to share that with you. Okay, so again, this is talking about the incorruptible crown. So we focus, remember, we press toward the mark of the high calling of our Lord and Savior and our Heavenly Father, okay? So this is a crown that you're going to get just for reading your word daily, listening to gospel music as often as you can, praise and worship, praying as often as you can. The Bible says to what? Pray without ceasing. You're rewarded for all these things. Why not get these rewards? Why miss out? Again, it's okay to obtain some favor in this life. It's okay to have some things and to do good in this life, and to, you know, to make money, whatever it is that you are trying to obtain. That's great, but make sure that you have Christ as your Lord and Savior at the head of your life. Make sure the Most High is at the head of your life and all the success that you may attain, because, again, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world but yet to lose his own soul? It profits you nothing, okay? Now, the next crown that you're going to receive is what? The crown of rejoicing, okay? The crown of rejoicing. So remember, we have the incorruptible crown, right, which we deal with being disciplined and effective life. These are things that just help us out, right? So what I do is I read my Bible every day. I have my music playing. You know, I have some other things that I work on. I research, I study. Expressing gratitude. I like to express gratitude. Try to express gratitude as much as you can. And this is just something that I call it. I started this about almost 10 years ago. I call it expressing gratitude, meaning that I thank him for another blessed day. I thank him for my life. I even thank him for my parents. Even though my parents are gone home to glory, I still thank him for my mom and dad. Why? And my grandparents. Why? Because without them, we wouldn't be here, right? Without them, that helped mold us to become the men and women that we are, especially the men and women in Christ, where would we be? I'm so grateful that my dad taught me about salvation, taught me the word, taught me the Bible, because why? I'm a believer, and now I get to have what? Eternal life. Pass on this generational blessing to your children. I pass it on to my children. I teach them about salvation. I teach them about love. And then when they have children, guess what? And I have those going to be my grandchildren. So don't I want to see them in heaven one day? Surely I do. You should want to see all of your family and friends, and even the number, even your enemy. You should want to see everybody saved. We don't want to see anyone left behind. This is why Christ, when mainly the Heavenly Father is putting off the return of Christ, because he wants to see as many souls get saved and come into the kingdom. He loves the non-believer as well. I was once a non-believer. You were once a non-believer. So I still want to see my enemies, in heaven. We don't want to see no one lost, because the lake of fire is going to be, hell itself is terrible, but hell itself is going to be cast into the lake of fire. So you can only imagine what the lake of fire is going to be. A lot of people don't understand that the lake of fire and hell are two different places. I used to think that hell was a lake of fire, but no, it's not. The Bible says on Revelation, the 20th chapter, verse 14, that hell is going to be cast into the lake of fire. I'm telling y'all, family, get your tickets. If you don't have your tickets, get your tickets. Get them while they're hot. Get them. There's plenty of them. There's plenty of tickets. Get your tickets for salvation. Don't miss this glory-bound train. You have this opportunity. Don't second-guess it for worldly trinkets. That's what they guess. That's what Lucifer's offering you, trinkets. It kind of reminds me in corporate America. I remember when I used to work on this job a long time ago, and we used to make real, real good bonus checks and collections. And the bank had got bought out by a bigger bank, and they changed our pay structure. And we was kind of puzzled, like, well, wait a minute. Well, y'all a bigger bank and you got more money, but when you come in, you take away the good bonuses that we're making, and now you're throwing trinkets. You want to pay us a $100 bonus check when we used to get a $1,000 bonus check. Well, that makes no sense. So you're going to pay us 90% less than what we were used to making in bonuses, but you're a bigger bank. It just didn't make any sense to me. So now you're throwing trinkets at us. That's what you're doing. And that's what Lucifer's offering you. When he offers you the things, these are trinkets compared to what the Heavenly Father has for you in heaven. All the gifts that you're going to get is going to be so unimaginable. Heaven, you are not going to want to miss this. I'm telling you, I wish that, it's just a spiritual thing, and hopefully you see it. We got to share it with family and friends. So let me go ahead and move forward, because now we're talking about the crown of rejoicing. I just talked about the incorruptible crown. Now we're going to deal with the crown of rejoicing. This is over in 1 Thessalonians, the 2nd chapter, verse 19. This is what it says. And it says, and not holding the head, from which all the body, by joints and bands, having nourishment. Oh, wait, hold on. I do apologize. I'm over in Colossians. From teaching so hard, I'm over in the wrong book. I said, wait a minute, that scripture didn't sound right. I do apologize. It's going to be 1 Thessalonians, the 2nd chapter, verse 19. I'm reading something like that. It didn't even sound right. There we go. 1 Thessalonians, the 2nd chapter, verse 19. There we go. It says, for what is our hope or joy, or crown of rejoicing, or not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming. Ain't that something? You're going to get a crown. See, this is what I love about being a believer. See, man will make you work hard, long, do all this ridiculous stuff, and then he'll offer you trinkets. Even Lucifer. Lucifer had you doing some crazy stuff. People in Hollywood are doing some crazy stuff just to get $1 million. Just to get $100,000, they're doing some crazy, unheard of stuff, some unimaginable things that you have to do just to get there. But watch how. Let me tell you how our Lord and Savior. Let me show how much love, how much He loves you. Let me show you how much our Heavenly Father loves you. At the appearing of Christ, because you believe, just because you believe, you're gonna get one. This kind of reminds of a game show a little bit. You're gonna get for one. You're going to get eternal life just because you believe. Lucifer can't offer that gift, and nobody in this planet, in heaven and earth, this is what Paul was saying. No one can offer you what Christ and the Heavenly Father and the Spirit is going to offer you just becoming saved. You're going to get eternal life. You mean to tell me I get to live forever? I won't ever die? You won't never die. See, let me tell you how Lucifer played games. Remember when he told Eve in the garden? He said, you won't surely die. So you're going to die. You're just not going to die right now. See the games he plays? You're going to die. Just going to die today. See, he knew this in the back of his mind. Yeah, you won't surely die. But see, you had everlasting life. Adam and Eve had everlasting life in the garden. That was the intent of the Heavenly Father creating. They had everlasting life, okay? In the garden, they had everlasting life. This is the games Lucifer plays, the game that his worldly system plays. On your job, they play games. Everywhere they play games, I tell people, it just makes me just laugh. You know, I work for a financial institution, I work for a bank, and the games that they play with customers, the lies, the games, I just shake my head and say, boy, you know, but hey, I got to work. I got to have a job, right? I got to eat. Got to take care of the family. So, you know, this is the life that we live. We have to go to work for these entities. And don't think no entity, unless it's a church, or unless you work for the church or some type of church-owned organization, everywhere you work, there's evil. Lucifer is behind it, okay? But these are the games that are being played on us, right? But with Christ and the Heavenly Father, you're going to get eternal life. Not only are you going to get to live forever, but I'm going to give you a brand-new spanking body. So this body that has picked up weight, got stress marks, you lost her, you gained her in place. I remember my brother used to tell me when I was young, he said, man, you get older. You think you're young now, but you're going to pick up weight. You're going to lose those muscles. You're going to start having hair in places that you don't want. So what are you talking about? As you get older, you start getting hair in your ears. Some of us know what you're talking about. You start getting hair in your ears, right? You're like, what is this? You know, when you're young, you don't experience all these things, these changes, right? You begin to lose your sight. Some people even begin to lose their mind. But you're going to get a brand new body. You're going to look beautiful, okay? There is no gift greater than eternal life. You're going to get to live forever. You're going to get a brand new body. There's no gift above that. No amount of money on this planet. Nothing, anything, or anyone can offer you outside of that. That's a gift from the Heavenly Father for just believing in Christ and that the Heavenly Father raised him from the dead. You're going to get that. Then you're going to get a crown of rejoicing at the presence of our Lord, Yeshua. The Christ at his coming, when he comes. This is 1 Thessalonians, the 2nd chapter, verse 9. When he, you get a crown? Wait. You get an incorruptible crown. So now you got two crowns. You got a crown for what? For being disciplined, reading your Bible daily, speaking, talking good to people, showing love. You will get a crown just for that. I get a crown just for that. And then we get another crown. See, we already doing good. See, we already got gifts. And then, see, now you get a, in other words, it's not going to ever rust. You ain't got to worry about nobody trying to steal your crown. You think the crown that these people got on earth is something. No, that's nothing. The crowns that you're going to get is going to be so beautiful. So beautiful. Now, the crown of rejoicing comes for what? For soul winners. So just by me teaching the word, and you receiving salvation, I get a crown. So guess who else get a crown? Not just me, but you can get a crown too, right? Right. You can get a crown if you're winning souls. This is why it's important that we do the works of him that sent us. So when you're out witnessing and talking to people, sharing on your job, I don't know, maybe sharing with people at the store, you share, I don't know, family members, friends, you get a crown for winning souls. This is the crown of rejoicing. And again, a crown for what? Righteousness, just for being righteous, just for being a believer, you get a crown. This is what this crown, this is a crown of rejoicing. So these, you got two crowns. Now we're not even through. Then you're going to get another crown, okay? So these are the many blessings that we receive as believers. And again, you know, a lot of these things is right here in our Bible, but because, you know, maybe it's not taught, maybe because people don't read and study, they're unaware of these things. They're not aware of these different blessings that you're going to get just by being a believer. How awesome and great is that? 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, verse 8, okay? Okay, so this is another crown that you're going to get, okay? Crown for righteousness, okay? So remember, we got the crown of rejoicing. So you get a crown just for the appearing, a crown mainly for what? Saving souls. The crown of righteousness is 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, verse 8. Okay, it says, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Okay, man, we're going to love the appearance of Christ. Okay, This is what Christ was talking about when he told John to write to the churches, okay? And remember, we're talking about, we're still on Revelation 2nd chapter, verse 10. See, I told you, the Bible is so deep. This is why I can't just rush through Revelation, because it's so beautiful. You know, Revelation is for us, man. I have loved the book of Revelation since 2000, since I got saved. It's a beautiful book. It's for us. If you believe, oh, man, it is for you. It is for us. We remember, we are the us's. Remember, we talked about the us's and the they. I'm not a they, I'm a us. Okay? It's so beautiful for us. Now, for those who don't believe, it's, you know, it's, we're going to get to that. It's not a pretty sight for them. Okay? But for us to believe, all is rejoicing. As you can see from right here, Revelation is great. Revelation makes me smile. Hopefully, you're smiling. Okay? And we talk about what? This is the crown of righteousness. For lovers of his appearance, man, when Christ, when that sky opens up, oh, man, it's going to be so beautiful. When heaven opens up and he's going to raise the dead, and then those of us that remain, if we are still alive when Christ comes back, we're going to love him. He's gathering those saints. We're going to be like, there he is, my Lord and Savior. He's going to be just gathering. He's just going to be calling them up in the grave. He's going to shout, and they're going to come up those graves. He's going to call up all the saints. Can you imagine the earth's just going to shake? All those bodies are going to come up out of the earth, out of the tombs, out of the graves. He's going to be raising them from the dead. He's going to go all the earth. He's going to be raising them from the dead from all over time, from thousands of years back, since the day of Pentecost. He's going to be raising them from the dead. Now, not the Old Testament saints. This is just the church age saints. He's going to be raising them from the dead. And we're going to love his appearance. We're just going to smile and say, that's my Lord. See, confidence. See, we don't think like, oh, I hope I'm no. See, we don't do that. We know we say. See, you know, you said the Bible. Paul said that we may have confidence at his appearance. When he comes, I got confidence. That's my look, because I believe him. I believe him. A lot of people say talk about, oh, we've been saying he's gonna come. When he gonna come? See, they mock us. They talking smart now. But wait till when he show up, right? But we're gonna love his appearance. Okay. Man, it's going to be beautiful. Now watch this. Not only are we going to love his appearing, but remember, he's going to come back the second time. He's going to raise the Old Testament saints after the seven-year tribulation. And guess who's going to be with him? We as the saints, the church-age saints, all them saints are going to come back with Christ when he comes back to destroy his enemies on this earth. All these worldly governments that's doing all this evil, these big corporations, and these folks, like I said, the Illuminati and all these secret society, all these different groups. Yeah, you go and be with them if you want to. All these different fraternities and sororities and Mason groups and Eastern Star. Yeah, you go and be part of that if you want to. He's going to come back and he's going to reign on his enemy. He's going to destroy his enemy. We're going to be with him. Man, it's going to be beautiful. We're going to actually be with him when he come back. You ain't going to have to lift a finger. He's going to take care. He's going to do all the work. He's going to take care of it. This is going to be beautiful for the saints. So we're going to get a crown of righteousness. Man, that's going to be awesome. So we're doing good so far, right? That's three crowns we got. Okay? I gave you the scriptures. The crown of righteousness is 2 Timothy 4:8. The crown of rejoicing is 1 Thessalonians 2:19. That's for soul winners. And the crown of righteousness, which is 2 Timothy 4:8, which is for lovers of his appearance. And then there's an incorruptible crown, 1 Corinthians 9:25. This is for discipline and effective life, effective living. So you got to be effective. You can't just show up after Sunday school and show up. Don't come to Wednesday night Bible study and not study your word. This is the purpose of attending. You know, there's so much ministry, you know, going on Chaos Talk Radio. I mean, I listened to a couple this week and it was beautiful. It was nice. It was good. It was awesome. See, I like to be ministered to as well. See, it does me no good to just sit there and just teach all the time. My spirit needs to be fed as well. I enjoy hearing ministry and teachers and evangelists and mission. And I love to hear people talk about the word. If I can't get it from the station, I'll go on YouTube and I may listen to some preacher or pastor. I love to be ministered to as well. We should. If we are believers, I'm no better than no one else. I don't think of myself high or mighty or above no one else. Okay? I'm just like you. I want to be a humble servant. Okay? Right? Now we're on another crown, right? So let's move on. Okay, so where are we at? Now watch this. It says, for lovers of his appearance. Okay, now we talked about that. Now let's deal with the crown of life. Okay, and this is coming from James, the 1 and 12. I actually was reading that earlier. So let's see what it says. James 1 and 12. James, the first chapter, verse 12. Let's see what it says. It says, blessed is the man or woman, okay, because when you look at the word man in the Greek, it means mankind, meaning the whole man family. It's going to be man, woman, or child. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised. See that? He promised to them that love him. And because we love him, what? We endure the trials. And then Revelation 2 and 10, which is where we're studying out of right now. As you can see, if you read Revelation 2 and 10, which is why I'm sharing all these different scriptures with you, so earn these crowns. This is what he's talking about in Revelation 2 and 10. It says, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. In other words, don't worry about what you go through. It says, behold, the devil shall cast some of you into what? Prison, that ye may be tried. You're going to go through some trials and tribulation in this life. And ye shall have tribulation 10 days. But watch this. It says, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Okay? So the crown of life is yours because as a believer, you're going to automatically see. This is what I like about our life. Because the Spirit is with us, because we receive some of these things are just automatic with us, okay? Because I love him, I have to read my word. It bothers me spiritually not to read my word daily, at least not pick up the Bible and read a scripture. And because it becomes such a habit, see, that's the purpose. That's the goal, to press toward the mark. See, that's what press toward the mark means, to make this thing for Christ a habit. Make it a habit to speak the word. Make it a habit to study the word. Make it a habit to show love. Make it a habit to share the word with those that what? Don't believe. Make it a habit just to be a believer. And you're going to automatically receive these beautiful gifts. This is such a wonderful word. The word is just wonderful all by itself. No matter who teaches, whether it be me or somebody else who can rightfully divide the word is beautiful. Okay? But it says, for endurers of trials, you're going to receive a crown of life. Man, you automatically, once you become a believer, let me tell you, it seemed like things were easier for me when I was a non-believer, man. I tell you, it seemed like things just go my way. But, man, the moment I got saved, boy, like, man, I was like, have a second guess. I'm like, man, this is what salvation is supposed to be about. They said it's supposed to be good on this side. And it is good. It is, but you're going to have some trials and tribulations on this side, okay? Because we in the world, it seems like Lucifer allows doors to just, certain things just happen for you, just seem like, okay? That's because he wants to keep you blinded, okay? Because you're just thinking, oh, this is supposed to be smooth for me out here, okay? You're supposed to have no trials or tribulations. But once you become saved, you know, he's mad. Lucifer's upset you become saved. So he don't want you to teach nobody salvation is free, and that salvation is eternal, is forever. He don't want you to teach that. He surely don't want you to teach that you can't lose your salvation. He don't want you to teach that because, see, he knows this is the trick of Lucifer, that he hides these things because he knows the gift that you're going to receive. So he wants you to think that this right here is you ain't nothing on this side, man. Everything is on this side. See, ain't nothing trickish is on the other side. See, he's playing games with you. He's tricking you. And see, behind those doors, what you don't understand is those doors, when you're a non-believer, when those doors open up, what's next? Oh, death. That's the first thing you're going to see when you die. You're going to see death. Oh, wow, I didn't know this was going to happen. Yeah, you're going to see death when you die. Then number two, you're going to go to hell. Then after that, you're going to be tormented in hell. Then number three, you're going to go to be, after judgment, you're going to be cast into the lake of fire. See, Lucifer, see, all these things Lucifer ain't tell. See, again, like he did Adam and Eve in the garden. Oh, you won't surely die. See, he tricked them and believe, oh, look, you have all this knowledge. You're going to know all this stuff. That's right. Man has all this knowledge on earth. We know all these things, all these secrets they hide. All the secrets they hide in the Vatican. All the secrets they hide in secret societies. What they call them? Secret societies. They hide all these handshakes and these signs and symbols. They hide all these secrets. Okay. All right. You go right ahead if you want to. play games, like the young people say. Play stupid games, receive what? Stupid prizes. That's real true. Help the kids say play stupid games, receive stupid prizes. That's real. See, this is the game that Lucifer played. See, when in the Garden of Eden, he played Eve. And then after he played Eve, he played Adam, and they both fell into the trap of Lucifer. And then the Bible said death and sin and death entered into the world after they sinned. And after then, it's been nothing but rain and terror and destruction. Terror and destruction on this earth. And I tell you right now, if you could be caught up, if an angel can catch you up in the spirit and you can see all the evil things that's going on in this world, it would shock you. You probably would drop dead after you come back into your regular flesh, seeing all this. That's how much evil is going on in this world. You can't imagine the evil that's going on behind closed doors. We can't imagine the evil that man is working for Lucifer behind closed doors. Okay, which is why I'm about to talk about the millennial reign here in just one moment. Because some people are unaware that when Christ returns to destroy the enemy, we're going to actually reign with him 1,000 years of peace on this earth. See, that was never taught to me growing up. Never heard that in church until I started studying and reading Revelation. And I was taking class. I'm like, what? We're going to come back and reign with Christ 1,000? I'm right here reading in my textbook. I'm studying. I'm like, what? I see why they say in class, study and read the Bible. See, all school do is just give you the tools. That's all school does. People think we get all this knowledge from school. No, school just give you the tools. They're going to tell you, you got to study and research on your own to make the grade. This is study and research. Okay? There's so many blessed things in the Word that we're going to receive. And this is the game that Lucifer's playing with you. Okay? Don't get played. See, though you want to be a player. So you're a player on this side. So you don't get played. See, Lucifer's playing games on people out in the world. They just going to be partying and doing all this stuff and going on. And then when Christ come back, they don't know what's that. Like, what's that? You mean, see, a lot of people in church don't even know this. When Christ come back, he's going to part the sky, and he's going to shout, them trumpets are going to blow. They're going to hear it all over the earth. They're going to be so loud, the dead and Christ going to wait. I'm telling you, Christ is so powerful, man. When Yahweh gave him the power to death, and oh, he is so powerful. Man, this game that y'all think the governments and the president, you think they got power, they ain't got nothing on my Lord and Savior. When he come back, he reign on earth. When he come back, oh, he going to, like my brother, you know, you say back in the day, he going to show him what time it is. He going to show him what time it is when he come back. Remember we used to say that back in the day, we'll show you what time it is. He going to show him what time it is. Watch. Okay? So be on this side. This dude, get your ticket. If you ain't got your ticket, I encourage you right now. Get your salvation tickets. We get them out for free. You can get on this glory bound train, and this train never stops. It's gonna go on for all eternity. You're gonna have life. You're gonna get gifts. You're gonna just think good thoughts and receive gifts. You're gonna tell your brother, I love you, sister, I love you. You're gonna get rewarded for that. Ain't these little silly trinkets and stuff they do, your little paychecks that they give you down there playing games, little raise they give you. You know, you look at your annual raise and they give you $100. Wait a minute, I did all this work for a year. And you give me an extra $100 a year, extra $200 a year, extra $500 a year. You know, they don't give you much on these raises on these jobs. Okay? I've been working in corporate America for a long time, and I feel like I'm worth a lot more than what they've been paying me. And that's just how it is. Again, this is the game that they play. But yet they'll pay a CEO to sit back and basically do nothing, steal and rape and rob and do evil, and basically don't even know what they're doing to run these companies, and they get millions of dollars a year, tens of millions of dollars. I remember one bank I worked for, I'm not going to say the name. I remember one time this person within the bank, they had did something, I think they had lost the company like $1 billion. It was something ridiculous. It was so funny though, that we just couldn't believe this lady didn't go to prison. Like, how can this lady lose the company this much money and not end up in prison? But yet they're paying this woman millions of dollars a year. See, this is the game that Lucifer play. For those who are steeped deep in devil spirits and Luciferian, they get away with stuff. They're getting away with it now. Oh, but when my Lord and Savior come back, oh, man, there's so much I want to get into. And I know I've kind of been going on, but I had to share that with you, okay? So let's go ahead and move on. Now you're going to receive the crown of glory, okay? The crown of glory. How many crowns do we have so far? we didn't receive so many crowns. I didn't kind of lost count. But you're going to receive the crown of glory for these works and for these things as a believer. We didn't talk about the incorruptible crown. We didn't talk about the crown of rejoicing. We didn't talk about the crown of righteousness. And we didn't talk about the crown of life. And now the fifth crown is the crown of glory. So what is the crown of glory? Well, the crown of glory is coming from 1 Peter, the fifth chapter, verse 4. What does it say? It says, and when the chief shepherd shall appear. Who is the chief shepherd? It's Christ, our Lord and Savior, Yeshua, our Lord and Savior. He is the chief shepherd. You shall receive a crown of glory that what? Fade is not away. No, it'll never go away. See, that's what I like about my Lord and Savior. He don't halfway do nothing. He don't give you 25%. He don't give you 50%. He don't give you 75%. He don't even give you 99.5%. He give you 100%. He said it faded not away. Man, look at that. This is for Christian example and leadership. Okay? So this is for the leaders for who? To the elders of the church. This is your overseers, your bishops, your pastors, your evangelists, you know, your missionary, the people who are leaders in the church. Now, you know what? Now, you know, a lot of times people get wrapped up in titles. I don't want to confuse anyone. Basically, they're pretty much all the same. They're just different titles, okay? The Bible says that a bishop is an overseer. In other words, a leader of the church. If you go over to 1 Timothy, the third chapter, you read the first two or three verses, it tells you that, okay? This is for Christian example and leadership. And this is the example and the leadership that I want to give to you. This is what I was saying to you about reading your word there. Listen to you listening to your music as you clean or whatever you do, riding your car, listen to your gospel music, or, you know, whatever that you do as a leadership, teach somewhere in the church. You may be a Sunday school teacher. You may be a preacher, a minister, whatever it is. You may be a missionary in the church, maybe an assistant leader over the children, teaching the children's church. Whatever it is that you may do as a leader or an example as a Christian, you're going to get another crown. All these things that you're going to receive, and you're going to see Revelation, you're going to be so many rewards. You're going to have so many gifts and rewards. You know, you remember how your kids do and how you were on Christmas? You know, it's a blessing to be a blessing, because I like the look and expression on people's faces when you bless them and give them something. You like to make your spouse a smile when you give them something. You like to see your children smile when you bless them and give them. It's good. Can you imagine how the Heavenly Father, Christ, and all the angels are going to be when we come? They are going to be so grateful to have us and to be there. Remember what Lucifer did. Lucifer has done a lot of things, but we're going to have to restore and replace a lot of things, okay? Heaven is going to be so beautiful. It's going to be such a beautiful life to live, okay? So I don't want you all to miss out on this. Remember, get your tickets. They're free, okay? I don't want y'all to miss out, because there's so many blessed things as believers that we're going to receive that. You're just going to be so ecstatic when you get to heaven. When you get your rewards, you know, you can be like, man, I got rewarded. I get this for that, just for doing that. You know, yep, you get that just for doing that. You get this for doing that. You know, like you say, you can get with this and you can get with that. See, there's going to be so many blessings that you're going to get. You can get with this or you can get with that. See, I'm getting with Christ. I'm getting with Yahweh and Yahshua and the Holy Spirit. You can get with Lucifer if you want to. I already told you about some of the things you're going to receive for playing on that side, okay? You're going to be blessed on this side, okay? This is the side that you want to be on, the many blessings that you're going to get, okay? So this is going into Revelations 2 and 11. We're about through with the church of Smyrna, and then we're going to get into the millennial church. There's some things I want to share. Hope you've been blessed by this message today. I'm loving it. I love teaching. I love sharing the word. I love you all. I love the Heavenly Father. I love His Son. I love the Holy Spirit. I love everything to do about the kingdom of heaven. You know, hopefully you all are being blessed. I am being blessed just by you being here. The word said, whether it's two or three gathered in His name, He is what? In the midst. Okay, definitely believe that the Holy Spirit is in the midst, the Heavenly Father and His Son is in the midst. So now we're going over to Revelation, the second chapter, looking at verse 11. I know we read it, but now time to break down verse 11, okay, just a little bit more. There's a lot can be said. I know there's so much that can be said, but we understand we have to be respectful of time. But we're going to move on and read verse 11. It says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. churches. Okay? So remember, if you desire to hear the word, this is what it says when it says, he that hath an ear. If you have an ear, you ever see when people, when they try to get to a door and they try to hear what people say, they try to be nosy, they try to hear what somebody says, what somebody talk about. See, he that hath an ear. In other words, you desire to hear. Okay? Now when somebody's having a little conversation, you just being nosy. You desire to hear, you have an ear, because why? You want to know what they talking about over there. Well, what is the overseer saying? What is he talking about in these scriptures? See, you want to hear that. You say, he that hath an ear, let him hear. In other words, the word hear in the Greek means to understand what the Spirit said unto the churches. You are the churches. Now, remember last week we talked about the churches. We also talked about verse 9. Verse 9 was a very important verse last week. It says, let me read it real quick. It says, I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich, and I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. That verse is such a very powerful verse, okay? So any church that is not the true church of Yahshua, of Christ, is of Satan. Do you know how many people are perpetrating the church? All these churches, why do we always say, hey, be careful where you go? I tell you, I can't tell you how many churches I didn't got up and walked out of from hearing some of the stuff that I heard in the pulpit. I remember one time, you know, and this is just not to be rude, but me and my family, I had to uproot my family, I had to leave because some of the things that was being said on the pulpit, I'm like, we have to be careful where we attend. And I tell people this, any church that don't talk about love and salvation, you need to move away from, okay? Because that's really all that we should be talking about mostly is love and salvation. There's other great things the Bible teach, but, you know, that's what the Bible says, he that hath an ear. See, you got to spiritually discern things. The Bible says, try the spirits by the spirit. This is what it means. He that hath an ear, if you desire to hear, try the spirits by the spirit, okay? And so you have to remember that Satan loves to be what? Religious. Well, I tell you, I don't have a religion. I have a Savior. Christ is my Lord and Savior. I don't have a religion. That's why I'm not religious. That's why I don't have a denomination, okay? I got away from that a long time ago. You just have to be careful, okay, to not get caught up in certain things. People get caught up to traditions too much. So let's begin to look at the word. Give me one moment. Let's look at the word. Okay, let's look at the word, okay? So as I was saying, verse 9 of Revelation, the second chapter, and dealing with, you know, these different churches out here. There's so many churches out here that are an example of the church. And when I say example, not the true church, they're false religions. And you have to be very careful. And I remember speaking to this lady one time. Let me just say this real quick, and we're going to move on. I'm not going to say what religion she was part of, but she tried to say that she had also a pastor she said he was a Baptist church pastor. But that's not the religion she was part of. She said that she associated with this pastor, and he basically told her that the religion that she was in was okay. I'm like, what? Wait a minute. How can he be a Baptist church minister who was supposed to represent the Bible and Christ, but then say the religion that you're in, which don't even acknowledge Christ, is okay? I said, see, you got to be careful, you know, about some of the things. See, sometimes when you discern things spiritually, you can see it, okay? So what I'm saying is that the church from Smyrna were not only persecuted by pagans, but also by unbelieving Jews and even by Satan himself. So religious persecution, you know, was the worst of all persecutions. And remember, I talked about that last week. If you remember, I talked about they were called Nicolaitans is what they were called, and how they were like people who were not. Remember how I told you that word Nicolas means to dominate people? It's what Nicolaitans means, dominate people. And not dominating in a warlike manner, but in a religious manner. That's what it means, okay? And I talked about that last week. And so that's like the worst persecution, is to be persecuted religiously. And that's what's going on in the world, okay? That's why you don't really see a physical war, but you see a spiritual war. That's the word. That's why I say we wrestle not against what? Flesh and blood, but principalities of the spirit. And so just with that being said, I'm going to go ahead and wrap up the Church of Smyrna because I did say that I wanted to talk about the millennial, kingdom, and meaning that when Christ comes back for the thousand-year period. But, yeah, I just wanted to just finish up that church. You know, we finished the Church of Ephesus the other week. We just finished up the Church of Smyrna. And, you know, just remember, you know, about a lot of these religious churches out here, you have to discern. And remember, I told you last week that these churches have an opportunity, okay? Because anytime this Bible is put before you, it is your responsibility to learn to what the real true word means. So in other words, if people are in a false religion or if they even teach in a false religion, there should be some curiosity as to, well, what is this book? Why? What is this book? Okay, because people choose money and worldly materialistic things, okay, and idolatry over the true word. And this is what the Church of Smyrna, this is what it was about. Because why? It worships so many gods that the city officials pay obedience to the what? Political system. And you see that same exact thing that's going on right now in the world. We see all these different churches out here. It's a political stunt, okay? So they're controlled politically. And so, you know, when you're part of a ministry that's not controlled politically, like in other words, I'm not trying to be politically correct, okay? I'm not in that, and which is why I had to disassociate myself, because a lot of time when you become a person that you become ruled by money and what the church board kind of try to tell you what to say and what to do, well, wait a minute, this ain't even scripture. You have to disassociate yourself from that, and that's so much in the church now. They don't want you to say certain things because they don't want you to offend a certain group of people in the church. Well, they need to get right, okay? This is what it's all about. Get right, because Christ is coming back to get what? The true church, the church of love. Now, the Bible says to speak the truth, but speak it with love, but I'm going to tell you the truth. Some in a loving way, but I have to tell you the truth. I'm not going to just sit here and just let you just run rampant, because that's what's going on in so many churches, okay? So let's move on to the millennial king. We have a little time. I had a friend that reached out to me today and wanted to know a little bit more. Said, hey, you begin to talk about the millennial kingdom and when Christ come back with the church. Well, I'm going to give you a little bit. I don't want to give you too much. This is why I didn't want to spend too much time on, because it's over in Revelation, the 20th chapter. And I want to say this. I don't want to tell you too much about it, but I am going to share a little bit on that subject, since she did reach out to me. And so the importance and the curiosity is that it's important for you to know this. A lot of people in church, and even I didn't know until I started studying and researching Revelation, but there are so many people in churches that are unaware. That even when I used to teach it in churches, people were like, wait a minute. You mean to sit there and tell me that we're going to actually come back with Christ and rule a thousand years? I said, yep, we are. Isn't that neat? That is wonderful. That is, in fact, the millennial kingdom is going to be so, so beautiful. You know, you probably won't even hear so much as a gunshot go off. Because why? Christ is going to be on the earth. There's going to be a lot of things that people are not going to be able to do when Christ is on this earth. All this evil stuff that's been going on since the fall of Adam and Eve, all this death, none of that, okay? So the millennial kingdom is a thousand-year future kingdom of Christ on earth, okay, when peace and righteousness, blessings will ensue. Because why? Satan's going to be bound a thousand years. So let me go ahead and read the scripture. I think it's the best way to start. Let's read the scripture. See what the scripture says. Give me one moment. Let's see what the scripture says. Revelation, the 20th chapter, verse 1 says, and I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. And he lay hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, okay? So you see this angel, which is believed to be Christ, okay, which is going to come back. He's going to set up the millennial kingdom for 1,000 years and reign on the earth, okay? And so there are so many prophetic references to this this scripture, and I'm going to share them with you here in a little bit. There's so many, but I'm just going to share only a few of them with you. Again, I'm going to save some for the future, okay? But this is going to be so beautiful, man. The things that's going on in the world now, you know, ain't nobody going to be able to just shoot you and kill you because of the color of your skin. you know, all this raping and killing and stuff that's going on, stealing, molesting, all this stuff, that kidnapping, all this thing that we can't imagine that goes on in the dark, it's not going to be happening. It's going to be peace on earth. You know, we know we talk about the holiday. You know how when the holidays come, everybody want to be nice to each other and joyful, and come out joy to the world and peace on earth. You know, see, that's not real peace on earth. The real peace and joy is going to come when Christ comes back, when he returns. You can say every day is going to be like the holiday season because he's going to be here, right? He's going to actually be on the earth, okay? And so he's not going to allow a lot of things. Like I said, you're probably not going to be able to hear so much as a gunshot go off in the world because it's going to be so peaceful. Because not only that, guess who else is going to be on the earth? You as a believer are going to be here. So we're not going to tolerate a lot of things. And what you don't understand is that you're going to get to rule with him. So all these people talk, they judges and officers and armies and governments and presidents and kings and princes and queens, whatever they want, and whatever they want to call themselves, that rule, they're not going to rule. We're going to rule. You're going to be an authority. And what you're going to go, what you're going to say goes by Christ and by the Spirit and by the Heavenly Father. So it's not going to be all this mess that's going on in the world that you see right now, right? And so this right here is very important to understand, because you got to understand the devil is going to, Satan's going to be bound for 1,000 years. So who's going to be there to encourage the people, the Illuminati, the Luciferian, the demonic, the satanics? There's going to be a few of them probably on the earth, I'm quite sure, because you're going to have some people just going to be hard-headed. You know, you're going to always have somebody who's going to be hard-headed, and they're going to see Christ. No, they're going to see the governments fall, the evil banking systems and systems on the earth, and all the evil businesses and companies that are just doing people wrong and stealing and just raping the people over and everything. You're going to see all this stuff just going to fall. The satanic Luciferian kingdom is going to fall for all eternity, because once he's bound for 1,000 years, that's it. It's over for him. It's it. He will rule not ever again anymore. He is done. Once that angel put them chains on him and bound him and threw him into the pit, the Bible says he's out of here, right? He's gone, okay? And so now Christ is on the scene. But the saints, remember the church, and this, so can you imagine all those saints from the time of the day of Pentecost? That's going to be a huge number. So come back. So we're going to be on the earth. And we're going to have a glorified body. You're going to have your crown. You're going to have your rewards on you. And they're going to be like, man, the world's going to be like, man, I want to be part of that. But you're going to have some. Like I said, you're going to have some that's going to cut up. They're going to, you know, you're going to always have those that's just going to, they're going to do their own thing. They don't want their ticket. And they're going to miss out. And so we're going to rule with Christ. It's going to be peace on every continent, on every inch of this earth. The animals going to get along. There's going to be peace among the animals. Ain't no more animals going to be doing anything. It's just going to be total peace on earth. It's going to be beautiful. Praise and worship, okay? You think about that song by Tasha Cobb, Put a Praise on It. You're going to be praising him. People are going to be shouting. You're going to be shouting and praising him, because why? Look, we're going to remember this life and the things that you went through and how you were delivered. People are going to live longer. There's not going to be any more sicknesses. Ain't going to be no such thing, no pandemic. Ain't going to be no such thing as scarcity like they trying to push out here. A lack thereof is going to be, there's always plenty, actually. There's not going to be, any diseases like there is now. People are going to live a long time, okay? And so if people don't live, okay, a long time, they're going to wonder what's going on. The Bible talks about that. If people live less than 100 years, the scriptures talk about that. I think I'm going to have to read some scriptures to show you that if people don't live a certain amount of time, then it's basically like they were a non-believer. See, now people die at an early age. Like, sometimes we always look like, man, why that person die at 12? I remember the kids that moved back in school, like, why that person die? I remember this lady, one girl, she died sooner after we graduated from high school. Wasn't even a week or two after we graduated from high school, she was gone. People die when we was in school, elementary, junior high, people were dying. Like, why they die such a young age? What they, a lot of times people think they have this or no. Lucifer and death, sin is ruling. Lucifer is ruling. He has the power right now. He's the prince of the air. So he can cause death, right, over all age groups. Whether you're a baby, could be a newborn, fresh out the womb, all the way to 100 years old, right? You don't necessarily have to do anything. It's just sin in the world, because Adam and Eve disobedience, man fell. And so now guess what? People die of all ages. But at this time, during the millennium, people will get to live almost 1,000 years. Man, that's going to be – people are going to live to be 2, 3, 4, 5, unheard of. 700, 800 years people are going to get to live for that 1,000-year reign. 1,000-year reign people are going to get to live. And I actually believe some people are going to get to live to be 1,000. Because during the time of Adam, if you remember back during the time of Genesis, nobody lived to be 1,000. Not of man, not man, the human man. We're not talking about giants. We're not talking about anything else. We're talking about the actual man, right? Nobody, only Methuselah got close, but he didn't get the, he didn't make it. He got close, almost 1,000 years, but he didn't make it. But watch, when Christ comes back, it's going to be possible that people going to get to live 1,000 years. That 1,000, hit that 1,000-year mark. So somebody going to get to be born at the time when Christ comes back, and you're going to actually get to live 1,000 years. Death won't reign like it used to. People will still die, but it will be a long time before they do. People going to be, because why? This was the intent in the beginning, was really for man to live all eternity in peace on the earth, okay? So many things that can be said about this, but there's going to be true peace on earth. So for the first time in the history of mankind, in an unprecedented period of time, well, for 1,000 years, you will not hear any evil things, any war, right? We hear about war. There won't be no need for all these jet fighters and tanks and armies and militias and military. You know, the world will be just full of joy and peace. Don't you want to be a part of that? Right. So since the fall of mankind, Adam and Eve, you know, the deterioration, sin just gets worse and worse. Man, the world just waxed cold and cold. People just do anything and everything at this day and time. See, the reason why Christ is going to come back is because the Heavenly Father didn't really get the opportunity to demonstrate what? The rule of a man as he really wanted to, okay? When he created Adam and Eve in their physical form, right? And so this is going to be very important that we don't miss this, okay? So now Satan is going to be bound for this 1,000-year reign, okay? No more curses, right? No more cancer, no more, you know, diabetes and these different things. People are going to probably eat healthier than what you could even imagine. No more, you know, no more games, right? As we talk about, no more GMOs, genetically modified organisms and food and stuff. People are going to be poisoning the water and putting fluoride in the water. Ain't no more chemtrails and all of those silly stuff that they're doing there. Ain't no more all this satanic Luciferian stuff that people are doing, all these symbols and signs, all this bad food that they're doing to people. I mean, man, they doing so many evil things, man, with food and just things in this world. It's just unbelievable, the stuff that goes on in this world. Just like, man, they just constantly don't stop. And right now, Lucifer is just running this spiritual evil warfare over mankind, okay? And this is what Adam and Eve signed up for. I don't know what they thought they were going to get, but, man, they signed that contract. They couldn't have known what they were getting into. But, man, you know, Christ is going to come back and make it right. And I love our Lord and Savior. I do, man. I love him so much for the sacrifice that he made, that he took on that cross for us. Can you imagine what all he went through? See, we think it's light what he went through, but, man, I can't imagine nobody beat me on the back with some spikes and not saying nothing. Oh, man, you talking about all kind of words. Like, what happened to the salvation? Man, all kind of words and thoughts come out of your mouth. And because you got to understand, that's unimaginable. The things that he went through, somebody's taking a sharp, and there was a huge thorns. I remember when they used to, there was a huge thorns. Not a little bitty thorns you get prickly out there in your yard and your rose, but these thorns were like an inch or two. These are huge thorns. They pressed them down on his dome of his skull into his skin. Beat him on the back. And I know some of you people saw the movie that they saw, but you know that when you do the study and research, you'll find it was a lot worse than the movie show. It was worse than that. Pulling flesh out of his back, you know, just whipping in blood. I mean, you know, just you couldn't imagine. Then and then he had to pick up that cross and carry that cross. Ain't that something? Man, we just can't imagine what he went through to knew who he was. He had came from heaven down to earth. And that's how they did him. Lied on him, mistreated him. Man, we serve a wonderful kingdom, a wonderful Heavenly Father, a wonderful Savior that loved us so much. The words that he didn't say, not a word. Man, you know, it couldn't have been me. We all been doomed. Like, well, you know what? They're in trouble. But no, but this is what it took. It took someone like Christ. Because that's why I took her. I tell people, man, don't think yourself to be more than what you are. Don't think that you save yourself through works. Don't think that you can lose your salvation because you can't. He didn't go through all that to lose you. Read the scripture. He didn't go through all this to lose. My God don't lose. He won't lose. Salvation is for all eternity. It is yours. It belongs to you. Family, I'm about to get ready to wrap up this message. I know there's a lot more. Oh, this hour, I want to share with you those scriptures about the millennial kingdom. I'm going to share with you a little bit because I don't want to give you too much. Because there's so much that could be said about that. I don't want to give you too many scriptures. Let's go to Isaiah, the 11th chapter, verse 9. Show you some examples of what's to come. Then I'm going to shut it down. Family, love you all. We'll be back next Saturday at 6 p.m. Central Standard Time, 7 p.m. East Coast Time, 4 p.m. Pacific Time. I'm not for certain if we're going to be back on the air doing the Freestyle Fridays. If we do, I'm going to change it up some. I'm probably just going to freestyle about the scriptures. Not for certain. I know that there was some issues yesterday, but hopefully things will get worked out. But we'll find out next week. If so, I'm quite sure Derek and his team will announce it this week. If not, that's fine. We're still getting the message out. And the main thing is that we're teaching about salvation and that you're receiving salvation and through his word. The main thing is that you're receiving these gifts. You see all these gifts that you're going to get? That you get these crowns. Don't miss out. Don't miss the glory bound train. Okay? So Isaiah, the 11th chapter, let's read verse 6, and I'm going to read verse 9. There's some more, but we're going to hold off. Like Christ told John, close the book. Don't share it with them. Close it up till a later time. That's what we're going to do. Isaiah, the 11th chapter, verse 6. This is about the kingdom of peace. I want you to read it. It's Isaiah, the 11th chapter, verses 1 through 9, actually. You can read about it. But I'm just going to share with you a few verses, okay? It says in verse 6, Isaiah, the 11th chapter, the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. Can a wolf dwell with the lamb at this day and time? Probably not. Verse 6, it says, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid. Is that possible? Probably not. And it says, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. Not at this day and time. That's not going to happen. Okay? But during the millennial kingdom of Christ, man, y'all know how much power Christ has. Christ has all power in his hands. Now watch this. Verse 9 says, they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. All this knowledge. I told you, we're just going to be preaching and ministering, saving souls, bringing more people into the kingdom. That's what we're going to be doing. It's going to be a joyous time, man. Don't miss this. You'll have your new body. You'll get to come back to this earth. I remember one of the sisters I used to minister in the church, she kind of made me laugh. She said, she's going to come back, she's going to have some pink wings. I said, sister, you're not going to have no pink wings. You're not going to have no pink wings. I know that sounds cute, but we're not going to have wings. She said, what? I said, yes, sister. I said the same thing when I was asking to share this one story, which I'm going to get out of. I remember one night I was coming home from class. We got to teaching, and that's one they taught. I said, wait a minute. All this time we've been teaching, we've been going through the scriptures, and then we talked about the glorified Christ. Yeah, he didn't have wings. We was always been taught that angels have wings, that we're going to have wings. I was just so shocked going home that night. Thing. I'm like, we don't have no wings? Nope, no wings. You have a nice, beautiful robe and crown. You're going to be decked out now. But no, you won't have no wings. You won't need them. You're going to be able to fly. You're going to be able to do so many different things when you get this new body. Now, me and my brother used to talk about this. He was talking about how you're going to be able to walk through walls. You're going to be able to, you think Superman, all them guys, you're going to be able to see things. You're going to have so many powers. You're going to be so immaculate. It's going to be so unbelievable. Paul said, I hadn't seen, nor had ear heard, nor has it entered into the hearts of man what Yahweh has for them that love him, what Christ has for you. You're going to be able to do so many different things, man. It's going to be mind-blowing, the powers you're going to have. So, family, until next week. I love each and every one of you. Thank you all for listening. And remember, family, hopefully something was said to bless you spiritually. Thank you for listening. And remember, you are blessed by the Most High, and you are royalty. I am royalty, family. And until next time, bless the kingdom. We'll be back next week. You all have a wonderful night. I love each and every one of you. Be blessed.